Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report and another daily editorial for this Memorial Day long weekend. I am chatting with TG Watkins, Director of Stocks over at Simpler Trading, also editor of the Profit Pilot website, which I will link below. TG, even though the markets aren't trading today, look, there has been a definite trend change, I guess we can say, but very much in line with a lot of what technicians we talk to have been expecting. This bear market rally, which we can call it in the U.S. equity markets, because curiously enough, as these type of rallies happen, it came right when most of the broad averages reached a 20% pullback, and now they've been rallying. The rally hasn't been going on for long, but at least there was a positive weekly candle last week for all the broad averages. What are your thoughts, TG? How long could this bear market rally go on for in terms of upside resistance?
Yeah, you know, it's always kind of funny. It's a little counterintuitive, but when the news out there is, okay, we've officially reached bear market status in the market because we've hit 20% decline, that's when it bounces. So I'm sure there were some retail traders who kind of got sucked into something like that, especially with, if you look on daily charts, the previous week, we actually did an undercut of the previous lows to 380 from 385. And then that's what sparked things. So a bit of a bear trap, if you want to call it that. As far as the upside, I mean, we got to keep in mind we are in a bear market. It is really rough out there. Things are not fixed. I mean, this isn't, you could go buy the dip, sure, but you better realize how far it could possibly go before rolling over again. Because this is not, you know, at least right now, we have no guarantee or any confirmation that we're out of the woods. So yeah, how far can this bounce go? Well, that's always the uncertainty, because in March, the bounce actually went pretty darn far. I mean, we definitely got over the daily 50, carried for 2 weeks or something, and it went all the way to the upper third ATR on the daily chart. So kind of keep those levels in mind. I've been projecting that we should at least hit the daily 50. I think that's easy. The real question is, how? Are we going to go hit the daily 50 on 3 or 4 or 5 short squeeze days up, or are we going to pull back and kind of chop around and do a bear flag sideways up to the daily 50 and have it take maybe a couple weeks as opposed to a few days? That's yet to be seen. And then there can also be, depending on how much momentum we have, we can get price to actually basically live over the daily 50 for a period of time, even though that's going to be ultimately resistance. So do watch for price to eventually get to the 50, maybe push past a little bit, but then watch for it to probably roll over again at some point, because we are still in a bear market.
So out of those three scenarios there, one being some more spike highs, others being more of a grinding sideways motion, or the third aspect, simply just going to the 50 day in a more orderly fashion, which one is worse longer term for the market? Which one provides maybe a little bit more hope that the bear market won't be as bad as a lot are saying?
Yeah, actually, that's a good question. So the way I view it, and this is kind of my opinion and my experience, is that if we reach the daily 50 sooner and with a more vertical move, so like pop, pop kind of thing, and really indicative of short covering rally, then that's going to be worse for the bulls, because it means that it's like a firecracker that just went straight up, popped, and then outran any of its support. So the way I look at this is, if price moves up too quickly, it's going to outrun its moving averages, and therefore it puts air underneath it. And when the buying, or rather the short covering, stops and runs out, well, there's not much real support underneath, and price will come back down more quickly in a more damaging sort of way, you know, as long as you're on the long side. So, I mean, it could be fun and exciting, but if that happens that direction, you need to realize that, oh, this is probably problematic and won't really stay. Something that pulls back and tests trend lines and moving averages and kind of grinds its way upward, I think actually could be the best if you are looking for the long side, because it'll give more time for the market to move that direction. It'll give more time for individual stocks to kind of just grind their way higher, and it'll be more of a green light as opposed to a red light when the market moves back down. So that could be pretty good as far as a sideways grinding. And that's kind of what I'm looking at. I want to just see if price just goes up too fast or actually follows support, to the upside. And so that's what I'll be watching. It'd be nice if it gave us a little bit more duration, because then we can actually take a couple long trades for the next couple weeks and then roll over again, reset things.
Yeah, still sounds like a very tough and, again, bear market, right? You just look at that stair-step pattern that the markets have put in so far this year through almost half of the year. One thing I find very curious, too, is the bounce in the S&P, yeah, came pretty much off a 20% pullback, also came pretty much right at the level where the markets were trading at the start of 2021. We remember just how easy about, well, three quarters plus of that year was for the market. But now all of those gains have been given back up. Is there any technical significance on that, TG?
Not too much about year or anything, but it's just if you look at price and you look left, you can see that there was an area of consolidation. That is something, I actually have a webinar that I just put out last week. It's free. You guys can see it on profitpilot.com, go under services. You can also see it on the Profit Pilot YouTube and anything else like that. So we've been putting out a lot of places. It's just a general bear market update. And one of the things I talked about was in 2020, the markets and a lot of individual tickers went up so fast, kind of like what I was talking about, this current bear market rally, is that the whole market over the course of the year, year and a half, went up so fast that there were actually no areas of sideways consolidation. And so it's like the faster it moves up, the faster it falls down, because on the way back down, there are no areas of price support and congestion for traders to fight over in order to help slow price on the way down. We kind of just saw this with the IWM, that it's all the way back to down to its weekly 200. And we've seen it with other names that they went up and then they kind of topped for a little bit and then they just went right back down. I was trying to think, there's a, you know, DKS has done a full round trip. I mean, it's crazy to see these names just go up and right back down and there's no support. So if you look left currently at where the S&P, you say, bounced at the 20%, well, there is a little bit of consolidation there. And so it was reasonable to see like dead cat bounce or some support or just some buying or selling shutting off a little bit because of that.
Okay, makes sense. Either way, though, boy, oh boy, this bear market, I think a lot of people saw it coming, but it's taking its time, and it seems like there's still going to be a lot of pressure broadly on the financial markets. Let's talk commodities now. In terms of broad commodities, we do keep on hearing positive comments saying commodities broadly, whether you look at the metals, whether you look at energy, are holding up near some very attractive historical levels. Where are you seeing opportunities in the commodity complex?
You know, just about the only place I can really see is oil energy sector. So energy, oil, natural gas, and their related names. We've kind of, you know, metal, steel seems to have had their heyday, and then they've kind of gone nowhere. Copper had some good runs, and then it's kind of fallen apart. Gold had a run, but it's been pulling back. We're trying to see if it's building a new base to start something at some point. And yeah, it's just been tough to see these things. Uranium had a couple big moves, and then it's all pulled back. So it's been really tough to find the right spots. And when they work for a period of time. It's hard to fairly find something with a trend. The best sector, as far as that goes, has been natural gas, although it's looking a little bit toppy, so it might need to chill out for a little bit. And then oil. And we see oil through USO, and it just started breaking out again last week after flagging for a very long time. Maybe you could look at soybeans, corn, wheat, you know, those kind of commodities are still elevated and have been making some moves. And then I just kind of think, yeah, natural gas and oil is where I've been spending some time and, you know, related. Also in my bear market update webinar that I did for free last week, I was kind of looking at some historical stuff and correlating oil, USO, and the oil futures to the market back when in 2000, 2008, when we had those crashes. And it seems to me, and some of the stuff that I've read out there, is that the market will generally hold up, even though we've had a 20% correction. It won't really fall apart, you know, crash, as long as oil is able to continue to move up. It's such a huge portion of the economy and of the market that might be our timing signal, that if oil and oil-related names actually start to roll over and weaken, that might be the next sign for when the market itself is going to roll over and take the next leg down.
Very interesting. So all eyes on oil for what could be the next, I guess, shock to the markets, because, hey, oil has held up pretty well. Well, a lot of the other commodities have given up a fairly significant portion of their gains. One other thing to note, something we've talked about a number of times, is that for these other commodities. You look at base metals, even precious metals that ran significantly higher, some even to all-time highs, the stocks didn't follow along. Some of the majors did well, but the mid-tiers, the smaller companies, they truly lagged that move. What's your takeaway from that environment where, as positive as you can look at these commodities because of historically high levels, investors aren't making a whole lot of money on the stocks?
Yeah, it's because the stocks are still paper money. You know, just because the raw material is going up, it should translate to mean that these companies are going to make more profits, and so you should invest in them. But the economy as a whole is going into a recession and is looking weak, and money is going into commodities just because of inflation. That's what you do, because they become more valuable. But to have that then translate to a more profitable company and then make a more profitable stock, it's not quite following through, because we are in a bear market. People are taking money out of the market and the economy, and they're trying to protect themselves. And so there's just not money flowing into these certain things. You should also look at PE ratios. That's another thing that in a defensive sector, people are going to say, okay, the big money is trying to figure out, where do we at least lose the least amount of money? Because we have to stay in. There's too much money, and they also have charter obligations to where they have to be invested. And they just can't take money out of the market. They have to put it some places. And so they figure, hey, if I got to put it in oil and it's going to be the last thing to stay afloat, that's fine, because at least I won't lose as much money. But I don't want to be putting money into some of the risky higher growth stuff like Zoom and Teladoc, whatever, that have gone down 80%. They're like, hey, if I take a 10% haircut, that's better than an 80% haircut. So I'll do that every day. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing. Just trying to find safety, really.
Somewhere to camp out with the money and hope that they don't lose as much. And to your point, we keep on hearing, look, gold stocks, copper stocks, whatever sort of metal stocks, they're still stocks. And if we're in a bear market, stocks broadly can head down. TG, is this all then just predicated on the Fed as well, tightening up their monetary policy? Because as much as people were looking for inflation over the last decade, comments were, we saw that inflation in the markets because that's where the money landed. Now there isn't that much more free money. Markets are moving down.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the simple thing is they are, instead of turning on the water spigot, they're turning on the vacuum. They got to undo everything that they've done, because inflation largely is a monetary phenomenon. And so there's too much money out there, too much money chasing not enough goods. And it's really throwing things off. And the Fed's number one thing now is that they have to address inflation, because inflation is very, very corrosive to our economy and to people's purchasing power. I mean, it's really insidious. And so they got to take care of it. And that's why they're doing 50 basis point rate hikes. And then they will get to a spot, and then they'll have to reassess. And of course, the markets could be looking very closely to see basically when they reverse. And I think it's been said that the market will probably bottom when the Fed capitulates. And what that means is when the Fed stops tightening and says, oh, okay, we're going to just hold off for a while, or maybe we'll actually go backwards and we'll see if we can find a bottom at that point.
All right, TG, we'll wrap it up here. Always great chatting with you, buddy. Thanks for breaking down what you're seeing in the charts. And also thanks for taking time on this Memorial Day long weekend for you. I hope you have a great rest of your week there, TG. Thanks again for your time, buddy.
Yep. Thanks, Corey.